Today we go to a fascinating new destination. Everybody has?
You really did. It's an interesting date.
Oh, that's funny. March 1st. As I was writing that last week. That's funny. Never know.
You'll never forget this date.
That's good. Today we are going to Yafo, which you see on the top left column, a beautiful picture of the old port of Yafo. And then at the top right, you see on the map, I don't know how many people here have been. How many people here have been to Yafo? Been? A lot of people have been. So today, Yafo is part of the Tel Aviv municipality, but as you can see, it's just on the southern cusp of the city of the municipality of Tel Aviv. Yafo is one of the most ancient cities in the land of Israel. And as you can see, it is a beautiful port city. I want to begin exploring a story that relates to Yafo, although there is an alternative text which relates the story to another port city called Akko. So, and Akko, by the way, Akko and Yafo are like cousins a little bit. So when we get to Akko, we'll see there are some similarities. But the Tosefta, you see in source number one, the Tosefta is a collection of teachings that was edited at the same time as the Mishnah. So the Mishnah was edited in the 3rd century by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That was a compendium of, I don't know, five generations of teachings of rabbis of what we call the Mishnah. There was then a parallel collection of teachings that was edited by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia. That's called the Brisa. So the Gemara will often quote Brisas. Those are, again, Mishnaic teachings from the same period of time. And then there's a third collection of teachings, which is not in the Mishnah, it's not in the Brisa, it's in its own collection. It's called the Tosefta. This is from the Lieberman edition of the Tosefta. This is a Tosefta in the second parak of Maseches Yuma. What is it doing in Maseches Yuma? Because in Yuma, there is a lot of discussion about the Beis HaMikdash, because it's all about what's Yuma, what's the one day?
Yom Kippur.
That's right, Yom Kippur. So the Yom Kippur service focuses on the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Beis HaMikdash, you had to know the layout of the building. So there's a lot of discussion about what were the offices in the Beis HaMikdash, where would the Kohen Gadol go, where would he go to the mikveh, where would he change? Lots of different things. So in that context, our Mishnayos have information about the Beis HaMikdash. And there's information, there's a lot of discussion about various things. Who manufactured, who created certain things in the Beis HaMikdash? So there was a guy by the name of Ben Katan who made this, and the Mishnah tells you the specific names. So parallel to these Mishnayos is this section of the Tosefta. So the Tosefta expands on what appears in the Mishnayos. This story does not appear in the Mishnah, but it is an expansion of what the themes are that's going on in the Mishnayos. Kol ha-sha'arim shahayu sham nishtanu liyoshal zav. All of the gates in the Beis HaMikdash, they had gold gates. Now, when we mean gates, we mean doors, right? There were lots of sha'arim, su'u sha'arim, there were many gates. There were gates of the Harabayas, there were gates of the Azara. So, the gates of the Azara, of the inner section of the Beis HaMikdash, these doors were made out of gold. By the way, they were generally speaking a standardized height, except for the ulam. So these were very large doors. They were all made out of gold. Chutz mishare Nikanor. Except for Share Nikanor. So there are two opinions of what means by the word Nikanor. It's definitely someone's name. There's one story that has to do with Nikanor that's different than what we're going to present today. But what we're going to discuss today, the Tosefta gives you a very specific story. So this is not the only understanding, but this is one understanding of the word Nikanor. It means a person. So there is a man by the name of Nikanor. Where is the Shar Nikanor? Does anybody know where is the Shar Nikanor? Well, there are four options. It's either the north, south, east, or west. Anybody? So the Shar Nicanor is the eastern gate of the Azara. So the truth is, I should have brought a map for this, but we're going to pretend for a moment. This is east, and this is west. So the Azara, the Beis Hamikdash, it went this direction, from west to east, or east to west. So back on this side was the Kodesh and Kedoshim. Then was the Kodesh with the menorah. We spoke with yesterday about the Mishkan and the Psukim. So it's Kodesh HaKadoshim, then the Kodesh, then what's called the Ulam, which was the opening hallway. Then there was a little bit of space. Then there was the Mizbeach. And then in front of the Mizbeach was the Azara. That's the section where the Kohanim would walk. In front of that was the Ezras Yisrael, which is where any regular Yisraelim were allowed to go. And then in front of that was a big courtyard called the Ezras Nashim, which was the women's gallery. Okay, so if you were going from east to west, you would be going through up. It would actually stairs. They were going up from the Ezras Nashim into the Ezras Yisrael. Then there was a little tiny marker that only Kohanim were allowed beyond this point. The Kohanim would go. Then there was the Mizbeach. After the Mizbeach is what we call Bein Ha'ulam B'la Mizbeach. That's just an empty space between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, which is the hallway. You would go into the Ulam. From the Ulam, you go into the Kodesh. From the Kodesh, you would go into the Kodesh HaKodesh. Okay? Now, so if you're thinking about it spatially, today, the Kotel HaMaravi, why is it called the Kotel HaMaravi? What does it mean? It's the western wall of what? Meaning, it's the western wall of the Har Habayis. So this section over here, right behind, like if you go on the tunnel tours and they tell you right here is where you would go opposite the Kodesh HaKodashim, this wall, the Kotel HaMaravi, is on the western side. So it's exactly opposite the eastern side. So if you were looking to find the Shar Nicanor, the Shar Nicanor is on the eastern side of the Azara, going into the Ezras Yisrael from the Ezras Nashim. So let's say today, I guess it would be toward Haras Esim, right on the opposite side, in that direction. Okay?
So the Dome of the Rock is actually pretty much right over the Kadosh Kadoshim.
Correct. That's why, probably, I don't know anything about, I've never been up there, but I assume they call it the Dome of the Rock because they think there is a tradition, I think, people probably know better than I do. In the second Beis Hamikdash, there was no Aron. There was no Ark. The Ark was hidden. And there's a debate in the Gemara in Maseches Yuma. Where did the Ark go? Was it buried in what we call the subterranean caverns, or was it taken somewhere else? So what was there? So the Mishnah and the Gemara describes in Yuma, same conversation, that there was a stone that's called the Evan HaShtiyah, the foundation stone of the creation of the world, is in that place. So I have a feeling they assume that the Dome of the Rock is on the foundation stone, Evan HaShtiyah. So this, now you can picture it in your...
It's a big rock.
Right.
Like, not level.
Right.
The mountain.
Okay. So I don't know. I have to find out more about that.
Is there any excavations where the Nicanor gate was, or they were not allowed?
So I think there's a lot of tension about what to do about excavations in these places, unfortunately. It's also halakhically questionable how to go in these places. So Shar Nicanor, now you can picture where it is. If the Beis Hamikdash were standing today and you were to go to the Kotel, you would see up on the top would be this is the top of the Har Habayis. There would be a wall. That would be the wall of the Azara. You would be at the back of the Azara on the west side. You would walk around and you would get to the entrance on the east side. And that entrance is the door between the Ezras Nashim, and there are little steps that go up, and the Ezras Yisrael. And that's where you would go in to do the avoda, or let's say you're going to bring the Korban Pesach, or if you were a Metzorah and you need to stick your fingers in to get special taras and Metzorah on your fingers, you would stand at the Shar Nicanor. It was probably the busiest gate in the Beis Hamikdash. So it's called and named after this guy by the name of Nicanor. Why? Why is it called Nicanor? Not all the doors, not all the gates in the Beis Hamikdash had a plaque on them. Some of them did, apparently. Well, I don't know if it had a plaque. Probably didn't have a formal plaque, but everybody called it the Nicanor Gate. Why? Mipnei shenasa behem neis, because a miracle happened to them. Some say mipnei shenichushtan matziv. Others say because since the sun rises in the east, so it rises right over the Nicanor gate when you see it in the morning. So the copper, the Nicanor gates were made out of copper, and they wanted to keep it that way because it had a sparkly effect. That's the second opinion. Okay? Says the Gemara, Reb Elezer ben Yaakov Omer, Nechushta kal nisa v'haisa yafek azav. It was so beautiful, it was a special kind of copper, it was beautiful like gold. Fine. But what's the story? Ma'u neis shenasa b'hem. Amru, they said, Kishaya Nikanor, there was this guy who was named Nikanor, Mevia me'alexandria shel Mitzrayim. He was bringing giant copper doors from Alexandria in Egypt. So where is Alexandria? If you go on the coast, go down, make a right turn, you're in Egypt, go a few hundred miles, you'll hit Alexandria, which is on the north coast of Egypt, on the Mediterranean, a little bit farther west. So that guy, and there was a huge Jewish population in Alexandria. There's a guy, his name is Nicanor, he makes enormous copper doors. He fashions them in Alexandria. He's bringing them by boat. Amar aleim nachshol shabayam. A sea creature steps on them, stands on them, attacks them while they're at sea. Litovan, to drown them. V'notlu echad mehen, and the sailors on this boat took one of Nicanor's doors, and v'hitiluhu layam, and they threw it in the sea. That's what it says. They threw the door in the sea. We're on the fourth line. Ubikshu lahatala sasheni, and they wanted now to throw the second door. They wanted to lighten the load. We're going to see if you remember. There's a parallel to this story. Okay, we're going to good. All right, you didn't fall asleep yet. Good. Velohi nicha Nicanor. Nicanor would not let them throw his other door in the water. Amalehem, he said to them, "Im atem atilan sasheni, if you throw the second door into the water, hatiluni imo, throw me with it." Haya mitzdayer, he was so upset. Why was he upset? That's right. What are you going to do with one door? They come to Israel, and you can imagine how long it took them. A bunch of guys with oars, they're going to go from Alexandria all the way to Israel. It took them forever. Meanwhile, the guy shows up. He says, one door. One door, what's it going to do for you? He was mitzdayer. He was upset. Ad shehigia l'namela shel Yafo. What is a namal? A port. Until it gets to the port of Yafo. Kevad shehigia l'namela shel Yafo. When they got to the port of Yafo, what happens? Hayam va'avea va'ola mitachas hasfina. The word ba'bua in modern Hebrew means a bubble. Means to bob. So under the boat all this time was bobbing the door. The copper door. Nicanor's second door. And the Gemara says, V'yesh omrim, says the Tosefta. Some say, Achas milchaya shevayam, one of the sea creatures, Bala, swallowed it. You've heard this story before? Okay. V'kevan shehigia Nicanor l'namela shel Yafo poltoso, when Nicanor arrived at the port, this sea creature spit it out. V'itiloso l'yabasha, and spit it onto the dry land, l'yabasha. And that's what it says in the pasuk, koros botenu arazim ra'itenu barosim. This is the miraculous story of the doors of Nicanor. And this, says the Mishnah, is why they didn't replace them with gold doors. Because Nicanor was so devoted to the Mikdash, and he was so upset that he wasn't going to have the schus to contribute his doors. In that merit, Rebbe Shalom did a miracle for him, so now we have the Shari Nicanor. And where did the Nicanor doors show up? At the port of Yafo. Adkan, number one. Number two. A Gemara in Maseches Tamid. You know, sometimes the Rebbe Shalom, he just drops certain things in your lap. And you never know why. It happens to be this week, I was learning this Gemara for some other reason. I never learned this Gemara before. And you're going to see this? You're going to be like, Dafka, this week you dropped it in your lap. The Gemara tells us in Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Asar Dvarim, 10 things, Shol Alexandrus Mokdon Ezikne HaNegev. Who was Alexandrus Mokdon? Yes. Why is it called Mokdon? That's right. That's the Gemara's way of saying Macedon. Who's learning Daf Yomi in that house, all right? That's right. Alexander of Macedon. Alexandrus Mokdon. Exactly. So it's an amazing frame the Gemara is giving to this. So Alexander the Great, from this very sophisticated, modern, military power, is asking a question of the Chachamim. He asks 10 questions, 10 issues he raises with the sages. Now these questions, obviously, have a tremendous amount of depth. Chazal, not quoting them just because he asked them where to find a cup of coffee when he got to Israel. And he's asking from the Ziknei HaNegev, the people, the wise men of the south, and we've spoken about them once before, that he wrote Shiyadrim Yachkim, Yachkim Yadrim, the south, the Chachamim in the south. So this is an interesting way of thinking about Greek wisdom seeking out Torah wisdom. Ziknei HaDarom. Alexander, this great general, great leader. Oh. Amalehem. He said to them, this is now on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, if I cut the middle, because the earlier questions are not pertinent for us right now. Beyama yo'il meidar. Beyama. What is yama? In the sea. Yo'i. That's an Aramaic word, but you probably know it. Kilo no'e, kilo ya'e. Yo'i means is good. Beyama yo'e lemeidar. Dar, dira, to live. O biyabeshta yo'e lemeidar. Or yabeshta. That's right. Yavesh, yabosha, dry land. What's the question Alexander of Macedon is asking the Chachamim? What's the question? Where is it better to live? Is it better to live in the Yam or in the Yabasha? That's the question. You're giving me a funny look. Go ahead. It's a funny question, right?
He's 27 years old. He owned about a third of the world, and he's worried about this.
Right? And what, as we were saying in Yiddish, Vosfer Ashayla, what, right? It's interesting. What kind of question is that? Is it better to live at sea or live on dry land? And what did they answer? Amrule, they said to him, the Chacham said to Alexander, Biyabeshta yoy lemeidar. Yoy, it's better, lemeidar, to live biyabeshta, on terra firma. How do you know this? Daha, because Kol Nechuse Yama. Yama is? Okay, the sea. Nachis, you know this from Gemara language. Nachis means to go down. All the people who go down to the sea, that's a Talmudic expression for all the sailors, all the fishermen. All the people who go down to the sea, who travel by boat. Kol Nechuse Yama Lo Mizva Dateon. Their das is not mesav. Tough in Aramaic is flipped for shin. It's not meyushav, yoshev. It's not settled. Lo misva datayon. Their mind is not settled. Ad disalkin, until they go out, leyabeshta. In Yiddish, you would say they're fatumult. They're not settled. You know, it's like asking somebody a question on an airplane. You know, they're like, you ever see, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, they're walking down, they have that look. They're walking to the bathroom in the back of the plane, and you want to stop them, ask them a question, they're like, you know, they can't. They need to get down. They need to breathe. They need to get some oxygen that's not being piped through the, you know what I'm saying? It's like, they're not, still, ani lo miyushav. Ani lo miyushav. So I need to get on dry land. Let me get out. Even in the terminal, it's like a shtickle, not miyushav. You have to get out. You can breathe the air. You walk out of LaGuardia and you just go. You know, it's like the inhalation, all that chemical, all the fumes, the buses, everything. Right? Baruch Hashem, we come back to O'Hare, you take a deep breath. It's so good. So what's the pshat in this Gemara? You know why it's better to live on the dry land? Because you can't, you're not miyushav when you're on the when the, you're in the water. This must be an omek. There must be a depth in this gemara. This is number two. Let's put that on the hold here. Issue number three is the Ramban. Now this Ramban is building off of a medrash in Bereishis Rabba. The medrash in Bereishis Rabba actually has two different girsos, two different formulations of this Ramban, of this frame that the Ramban is going to give us. We're going to go with the Rambans for the moment. The Ramban is working to explain a pasuk in V'zos HaBracha Barzel Unechoshes Min Alecha Uchiyamecha Davecha. So this is in the context of the brachas.
George, you have this
ball
pen? Right?
Yeah, I was going to say. So this is in the brachos that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving each of the tribes at the end of the journey in the desert. And each tribe is getting a specific bracha. And this, each of these psukim is so interesting because it's a phrase that has many layers of meaning. It's poetry, so it's not straightforward. So the pasuk literally says, "Barzel unechoshes min alecha." Iron and copper is your min al. Uchiyamecha davecha. You're on the yam. Who is this referring to? One of the tribes. George, you're still... Okay. Asher is a portion on the coast, right? Baruch mi banim Asher. So he's on the coast, and he's told that your lock is going to be iron and copper. Barzel unechoshes min alecha. What does it mean that your coastal area, the bracha for Asher, is a lock? So what do you think that means before we get to the Ramban?
Safety.
That's right. Safety from what? Where, what do you mean?
From the sea.
From the sea. People are going to come, invaders, marauders, they're going to come from the sea, and you are going to be that line of defense. The port of a country is the gateway. It's the min'al. It's the lock. That's right, yes. It's the buffer against the waves. Oh, so look at this Ramban. Haya Asher Besof Eretz Yisrael. Exactly what you said. Asher, the portion of the tribe of Asher, was on the edge of Eretz Yisrael, like it says, Upoga Bekarmel Hayama. Carmel is on the edge of Eretz Yisrael, like near Haifa, on the port. Uchsi V'hayu Totzosav Hayama. The edge of it should be in the Yam. It's also Akko, Yama Gadol, good. Shekishuhu al Yam HaGadol. Look in the second line. Kemosha Amru, Bereishis Rabba, Chav Gimel Zayin, Barishona, Allah ad Akko, Ubishnia ad Yafo. What is it talking about? The Ramban is quoting a medrash that before the flood that we're familiar with, there were two other floods. There were two other times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yam and washed out the Yabasha. I believe, I'm not mistaken, when I checked it, this medrash is on the Pasuk Vayi. It's one of those psukim, now I'm forgetting it, I didn't write it down, in Parshas Bereishis, where it describes that humankind was something like that, where the people of the earth were doing bad things. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do according to the Medrash? Whoosh, he washed it away. This is a precursor to the Mabul. But it's interesting, the first time, according to this formulation, there's different formulations of Medrash. According to the Ramban, the first time it was Akko, and the second time it was Ola Ad Yafo. Why is this significant, that it comes up to Yafo? because Yafo is a port city, and like you said, it buttresses, it's the bulwark of the Yabasha and the Yam. And even though there was this deluge, there was this huge influx of water, ad Yafo, until Yafo. That's where it stopped. So this is what I want to understand. What does it mean that Yafo is on the port, it's on the boundary of the Yam and the Yabasha? What is the significance of that? So we have the story of Nicanor, which is a story of doors. Now you see doors, doorways, gates, that ends up in Yafo, that involves the sea and the dry land. We have this question to Alexander, a strange question about trying to figure that out. We understand that Yafo is this min'al. It's the doorway to Eretz Yisrael from the sea. And then, of course, what everybody's been waiting for, source number 4, Vayidvar Hashem al Yonah ben Amitai lemor, the story of Yonah. Vayakam, what happens? He tells him to go to Nineveh. Vayakam Yonah levorach Tarshish. Yonah says, I'm not interested. I'm going to Tarshish, milifnei Hashem, from before God. Where does he go? Vayered Yafo. Why does he go to Yafo? Why? Because he wants to chapa gondolor. He wants to get out of there. So where is he going to go? He's going to the port. Is that interesting? Where could he have gone? He could have gone to the desert. To run away from Israel, he could have gone to Egypt. Assyria, Nineveh is north. He could have gone to Egypt, go south. But he doesn't do that. He goes to catch a water taxi, a gondola, a ship. So he goes to Yafo. And he finds. He picks up an Uber water taxi, Vayimtza Aniya Bo Tarshish, and he pays, and he goes in the water, and we all know what happens with the boat, and the sailors, and the sleeping, the Gansa Maisa. So what is going on here? So, and as you know, I don't know very much, so I did not know until this week that the Vilna Gaon has a tiny, beautiful, incredible, sensational pirush on the Book of Yonah. Duh, everybody else probably knew that. I didn't know that. So in digging around and finding in one of the Svarim, I saw a reference. So I got online through Hebrew Books, and then I got a better copy through Otzar Chachma, through YU, of the Vilna Gaon's pirush on Yonah. It was like, oh! You know, like one of those moments where you're like, this is like the greatest thing since sliced bread. Unbelievable. The Gaon says that the whole story of Yonah is a mashal. It's a parable. And that a Navi, turn the page, this is the introduction, Pirush HaGom Me'agon, Rabbeinu Eliyo, Zeichen Tzadik, Levrach Alachai, Olam Abba. Inyan HaNavi Romeis Al Nishmas Sa'adam. The story of Yonah is the story of our soul. That he's being sent to this world on a journey. Have you ever thought of the Book of Yonah this way? Life-changing, right? Amazing. It's all a parable. So says the Gaon, you see, I have it here at the top line. Vayakam Yonah Livroach. What happens when we get into this world? Livroach me'Hashem. We get into this world, so we get confused, and we start running away from God, and we go pursuing all kinds of other crazy things. And we're going Tarshisha. What is Tarshish? Second line at the end of the column. Achar Taivas Olam Hazeh L'Oshro. Tarshish is the symbol of wealth. So we start pursuing the worldly pleasures that surround us. The Rebbe Shalom comes, sends us into the world and says, go on a mission, little neshamala. Be a soul. Be a spiritual entity. And we start going, fleishigs, fleishigs, fleishigs. You know, we get totally like, levroach tarshisha. We start going like, Wall Street, investments, money. We're running away from our neshama. What are we doing? Levroach tarshisha. Tarshish, the boats that have all this wealth. Oh man, what are we doing? So he says, we go to Yafo. Yafo is Miloshon Yafeh. It looks very enticing. It looks very beautiful. What looks very beautiful? What's that?
The escape.
The escape, and specifically the enjoyment, the entertainment, the money, the pleasure. We find a boat, says the Gaon. You know what a boat is? It's a body. So our neshama comes down, and we find a boat, a body, and that body is all interested in taivas. It's interested in money. It's interested in covet. It's interested in enjoying. So now we're on this boat. Our neshama is trapped in the bottom of the boat. The neshama is saying, hey, where are we going? What are we doing? And the boat says, you know, we're going downtown. Right? It's going to be a long night. So what happens? Look at this line. You see where it go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up toward the end of the line, 67% of the way down the line. V'inyano, this is the key line. The issue is, says the Gaon, ki ha'olam hazeh, this world, dome layam. It's like the yam, it's the sea. Next line, after the little space, va'olam haba, and the next world, v'gan eden, dome layabasha. That's terra firma, that's the actual dry land. Shekol inyan yorde hayam, the whole issue of people who go out to sea, inam yordim lehishtakei asham, they don't go there to settle there. Even the people who go on fishing vessels in Southeast Asia, they don't live there. They stay there even for 6 months or a year, and then they come back. Elalahavi schor leyabasha, they go to catch fish, to pick a crab, and then they come back. Leyabasha. V'chein nimshal olam hazeh leyam. This world, it's just the sea. We just go down here for a 3-hour tour. All right, a little more than 3 hours. We go for 20 years, 50 years, 70 years, 100 years, 120 years, but then we go back. V'tzaros olam hazeh, the difficulties of this world, ligalim. They are like waves. This is the pshat.
We should bench Gomel every day.
Yes. We do that. We say Hamapil. We come home at the end of the day. Our neshama goes to shtickle back to Olam Haba. And we wake up in the morning. We say, Baruch Shalom, you put us back here. What do you associate, at least for me, I know Nechama also, we talk about this sometimes. The Yam, it's awesome. But it's also incredibly scary. Anybody else feel like that?
Yeah, sure.
Right? It's unbelievably scary. Because you realize, even when you're not on the Yam HaGadol, but when you're on a little Yam, you don't know what's under you. You don't know how deep it is. You don't know, when we go, we take the children to the beach. You don't know what's lurking over there. The currents, it's very powerful. It's very dangerous. I'm glad I'm not the only one. The yam makes you nervous. You know, you go out too far, lo aleinu, the scary stuff. The yam is a scary place. It's a dangerous place. It's a place that's not consistent because there are moving waves all the time. Yes, good.
Yeah.
It's also a place, I would argue, of uncertainty. It's very uncertain because the direction of the waves changes any moment. The yam is inconsistency. It's uncertainty. It's adventurous. There's the siren of the yam. You don't know what's out there. People are drawn to it. It's definitely interested in exploring it. But is that where you want to sleep at night? In a boat that's rocking back and forth? That some wave might come and smash. Says the Gaon, life is the yam in this world. And things happen in the world that are unanticipated. All of a sudden a storm brews. You thought you were going out. You see this in the news all the time. Lo aleinu. Someone takes out a boat. They think they're going to go for a day's, you know, just a nice, I don't know, a little spazier. And then all of a sudden, They end up, the boat is smashed, and there's lo aleinu. That's this world. It's the world of uncertainty. It's the world of olam hazeh. It's pursuing things, but it's also very dangerous. As opposed to the other world, the world where Hashem came from, which is firm, it's not moving, it's not going anywhere. It's like the difference, you could say, between the tkia and the shvarim. The fixed, the firm, the consonant versus the uncertainty. So Alexander of Macedon, the great conqueror, the great, you know, expeditionary visionary, he says to the Chachamim, so where is it better to live? Is it better to live in the Yabasha, where it's firm? Or is it better to live in the Yam, where it's extraordinarily exciting and adventurous? And the Chachamim say, you know, it's better to live in the Yabasha. It's better to live in a spiritual place, in a place of Olam Haba. And you know how I know this, the Chacham say? Because when you're in the Yam, when you're in the world of the physical, you're not biyushav. Your mind is not settled. Your priorities, your values are not clear. You're bobbing in the waves, so you're being pushed and pulled from one side to the other side. You're not miyushav. That's what Alexander is asking him, and they're telling him, we don't live in this world. This world is only temporary. You can't stay here forever. You can't take it with you. We live in the Yabasha, in a spiritual world, the world of the Neshama. That's eternal. And there we have all of our values and our priorities. We have it on straight. This Nicanor, all he wants to do is to build something on the Yabasha. He wants to build doors. Zeh Ashar LaHashem. He wants to build a gateway for people's neshamas to come to the Beis HaMikdash. And what happens? He experiences life, like we all do. Our neshama gets into this world and we want to do great things. We want to learn Mishnayos and we want to light Shabbos candles. We want to be inspired. And then we get hit by the waves. Lo aleinu, some people have personal tragedies, health tragedies, emuna tragedies, all kinds of waves, and v'haniach yishvali shaver. So much so that people sometimes we feel, collectively, individually, like our boat is going to break. The guf, we just can't handle it. Kenished. We don't know if we could do it. But this guy, Nicanor, says, I'm telling you, I only see one thing. I am seeing the Yabasha at the end. I see that there is a destination for my neshama, no matter how difficult it is. I'm going to hold on to the doors. And if you want to throw the second door in, you're going to throw me with it. Because I'm not going to give up on my vision of a yabasha, of a spiritual world. Even if right now I'm in the yam. And it's very tempestuous. Comes to the yam, to the numel of Yafo. Because Yafo is this bridge. Yafo is the boundary. It's that cusp at the edge. It's the gateway from the Yam to the Yabasha. It's the Minol. Minolecha, it's that doorway between the chaotic and distracting and dangerous world, the unsettled world of the Yam, that bridges the doorway, the Shar, to the world of the Yabasha that leads you to Yerushalayim, to the world of the soul. Yonah is running away. He's running away from Ruchnius, and he decides he's going just to live life in this world. And he's going to pretend, he's going to try to abandon the Ribbono Shel Kivyachol. The Ribbono Shel says, you're going to go downtown to the depths of the Yam, but you should know, I'm still with you. You cannot leave. Because at the end of the day, you're going to come back to the Yabasha. The soul will always come back. That's the journey of, and the Vilna Gaon is explaining. It's a complicated journey because finally he comes back and then he has more successes, but also more disappointments. This is the journey of life. But to understand that Yafo and the beach and the port is this interface between Olam Hazeh with all of its uncertainties and challenges and things that appear on the sea, But, you know, the treasures that we think are out there, but are just illusory, versus the Yabasha. Yafo is the gateway. So Yonah is running away through Yafo to the Yam, and ultimately comes back. But Nicanor is running to Yafo. He starts, his neshama starts in dry land. He starts with the world of priorities, of values, of ruchnias. He says, I'm going to build the Har Hashem. I'm going to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the opposite of Yonah, of course, that's the story. He says, I want to find God. So even though they both encounter this tempest at the sea, he says, it's not going to deter me because I'm focused on my soul. And so the Yam is only temporary. Nicanor is from the Yoshve Yabasha. And that's why forever, the Sha'arim, even till this day in the Mishnayos, these gates, they're always going to be copper because they're always going to remind us of Nicanor, of the man who saw Yafo, who saw the world of Ruchnias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it was such a difficult ride in the sea. Have a great day.